Okay, good morning. I'm going to be talking today about assessment of walkability using a structured observation of the built environment. Are Los Angeles neighborhoods walkable? And I'd like to acknowledge my co-author and partner in this work, Xinche Chang, who is a fellow doctoral student at UCLA. And I think she will be joining us this morning. Xinche and I have no relationships to disclose. I'll just start with some background about walkability. I'll keep this brief since probably everyone in this audience already knows what walkability means, but it's defined as the ability of the built environment to support and encourage walking, including the quality and the safety of the environment from the perspective of pedestrians, or in short, how safe, easy, and enjoyable is it to walk around here. So we have four goals in this project. Our goals were to promote community engagement and awareness of on issues of walkability and city planning. We wanted to perform a complete walkability assessment of our study area, which I'll talk about in just a moment. We wanted to inform local walkability planning needs at the level of city government in Los Angeles. And we wanted to disseminate this methodology to other neighborhoods in the LA area and beyond, primarily via creation of a walkability assessment protocol and training and assessment kit that other neighborhoods can use. To talk about our methods in this work, the study area was Palms Neighborhood Council. The neighborhood council system in Los Angeles is the most local level of city government. At the time that we did this work, there were 89 neighborhood councils in the city of Los Angeles, and the one that Xinche and I lived in, and I served as a member of the council for a year, is called Palms Neighborhood Council. It serves about 2,700 people on the west side of Los Angeles. It's a little bit less than 1 square mile in area. You can see the area there outlined in red on the large map. Palms is unique in a few ways. It's a highly diverse community, both in terms of age and race, ethnic makeup. It's about 92% renters, so very large proportion of renters. It's very hard to get community engagement when almost everyone in the community is a renter, so that was one of our real challenges. It's also a relatively dense area for Los Angeles. Los Angeles is mostly pretty sparse in terms of population. This is a densely populated area. So here's a close-up view of our study area. You can see the Palms Neighborhood Council District is highlighted in the bright green, and the streets that we wanted to perform this walkability assessment on are highlighted and are marked in green. We implemented the Pedestrian Environmental Quality Index, or the PECI. This is a structured observational measure of walkability. It was developed by the San Francisco Department of Public Health, and its objectives are to assess the quality of the physical pedestrian environment using structured observation and to inform pedestrian needs at the city level. The PECI is designed to produce an aggregate measure of walkability on a block-by-block basis. And it, San Francisco Department of Public Health showed that it does predict key determinants of health, such as physical activity, the degree of neighborhood safety, and quality of life for the elderly. I actually brought some copies of the assessment instrument itself. They're on this first chair right here, if anybody would like to take a look. And there's some for you guys here. The PECI assesses walkability over 5 main domains. The first is intersection safety, and that includes things like the presence of a crosswalk, visibility of crosswalks, time allowed to cross, traffic, which includes the number of lanes and vehicle speed, built environment design, including the width of the sidewalk, the quality of the sidewalk, presence of a curb, and so on, and also aesthetic qualities such as trees, planters, public seating. The fourth domain is land use, and that includes assessment of public art and retail use, and perceived safety, including illegal graffiti, litter, and lighting. One of our big challenges in performing this assessment was that the PECI was designed for downtown San Francisco, and as you may be aware, San Francisco and Los Angeles are quite different places. We had to do a significant adaptation of the PECI in order to perform this assessment. We needed to remove some irrelevant items from the original form. For example, ladder crosswalks is a kind of crosswalk that is not used by the City of Los Angeles. We also added some important items. Downtown San Francisco, at every intersection, there is a stoplight because it's a very dense urban neighborhood. And in this part of Los Angeles, like most of LA, it's more suburban in style, so many of the intersections, the stoplight is just not appropriate. So we had to do a major adaptation to assess the presence of stop signs and also to change the actual calculation of the PECI score to include this idea that a stoplight is not always appropriate. We also added items assessing curb cutouts, which is the little dip at the intersection where a stroller or a wheelchair can get down to street level, and bike racks, and a few other items as well. We performed training and data collection using community volunteers, and we had two events. We had 31 volunteers who completed at each event we completed a two-hour training followed by a four-hour data collection where the community volunteers actually went out and completed the PECI form on their assigned streets and intersections. The PECI form has 36 items, and we collected data on 133 intersections and 214 street segments, covering 22 linear miles. We actually had multiple assessments of several blocks and intersections, so the total number of forms was much higher. And these are some photos of our community volunteers. Here's some pictures of us performing data collection and getting ready to go. You can see all of our tape measures and stopwatches that we use to time the intersections and measure them. And here are some of our volunteers learning how to complete the assessment form and actually performing the assessment. So I'll go right into results. This is the map of the Palms area showing walkability at the intersections on a binary scale. The red dots are poor walkability at the intersections, and the green dots are acceptable walkability at the intersections. So you can see that Palms actually performed overall fairly well, although we did have some problem areas, especially along Venice Boulevard, which is a very major street. It's actually a state highway that's about 6 lanes wide with a median. And there were some intersections that did not perform well on Venice Boulevard. And then the other area that had poor performance was Exposition Boulevard. There you can see at the top of the map, there are a few intersections up there in a row that did not do well as well. This next map shows the overall walkability for the street segments. Again, on a binary scale, just poor versus acceptable. And again, you can see that overall the performance was pretty good. We did have some trouble spots. They're a little more dispersed, but one of the major streets that did not do well was Overland Boulevard, which is another major thoroughfare in Palms. And again, Venice Boulevard, you can see at the bottom of, towards the left side of the map on the bottom on Venice Boulevard, we actually had some missing data because our data collection team became so exhausted by the noise and exposure on that street that they gave up. We also created some maps showing individual elements of the PECI. This is the curb ramps. Those are those ramps that wheelchairs need to get down to street level when they cross an intersection. And so this map just shows where curb ramps exist and don't exist on every intersection in Palms. This is a map of sidewalk conditions, red being major problems, yellow being some problems, and green being acceptable. A lot of the problems in Palms with sidewalk condition were either related to litter or related to a broken sidewalk because of tree damage under the older trees under the sidewalks. And here's some images of some poor sidewalk conditions. You can see the one on the left is the problem is a tree planted close to the sidewalk. And on the right, there's no sidewalk at all, which does exist in some parts of this area. And the last map I'll show you is the presence of litter. This was another major problem we saw in Palms. And so the map shows that the big problem areas for litter, again, Venice Boulevard and Exposition Boulevard, two major thoroughfares. And here are a few images of litter in Palms. The one on the left, there's some construction at the top of the hill, and then litter towards the bottom. this fence also an aesthetic problem. And then on the right, there's no sidewalk, and there's also old furniture on the street. So we presented these results to the community and the city. We presented them with a priority list. We did this at the meeting of the Palms Neighborhood Council, which is a public forum, in the October 2009 meeting. And then in November, we, by invitation, presented these results to the City of Los Angeles Department of Public Works, who would be the agency in charge of fixing some of the problems, especially the hardscape problems like sidewalk conditions and street crossing safety. We gave them a priority list. We said that litter and graffiti was widespread. Curb ramps were missing on many corners. Signals were needed on some major street crossings. And the sidewalk conditions were poor. The results of our efforts to do community engagement were really positive. The volunteers were excited. They said they felt enlightened, and they said they felt very, very exhausted after 7 hours of training and data collection efforts. Some of their quotes, they told us that they found it educational. They said it changed the way they see pedestrians, and they learned so much about their neighborhood. One of the most interesting success stories in terms of community engagement was that the volunteers reported that it was very useful to them to learn the terminology of walkability and built environments so that they could use it for future advocacy. And when we presented these results to the Neighborhood Council, we also had one of the highest attendance at the Palms Neighborhood Council in memory. So it was really successful. Some of the outcomes related to the project, in terms of neighborhood improvements, the Palms Neighborhood Council has implemented a regular community litter cleanup project to try and help with the litter problem. And this is also run by Palms Neighborhood Council, and it's all done by community volunteers. The Palms Neighborhood Council requested additional crosswalks and improvements to their existing crosswalks. And they're in ongoing talks about beautifying some of the intersections and sort of branding them to give it a more Palms feel to the intersections. They requested and received 2 new left turn signals, which is a safety improvement for pedestrians crossing. They implemented a couple of cleanup projects to address the graffiti and litter that's present on some of the vacant lots in Palms. And they're in ongoing negotiations with the city about these problems with the sidewalks. Since the session's about the recession, I'll just mention that the city of Los Angeles is utterly broke, and they really can't do major repairs to sidewalks at this time. They're not doing any sidewalk repair. So it's on the list, and I do think that they intend to fix it as soon as they're able to. Some outcomes related to community engagement. We found this was an extremely successful way to get the community involved. This was a great turnout, and we really had a lot of rallying around this issue, especially a success in light of the fact that Palms is very hard to get people involved in a neighborhood like Palms, where almost everyone is a renter. We also felt this increased awareness and engagement among the community members on issues of obesity, walkability, and city planning for health, both among the individual volunteers and in the neighborhood council, which is really important because neighborhood council really has the ear of city government. So we found that having gone through this training, a lot of the council members were able to really talk about issues of walkability, bikeability, and obesity related to the built environment and other issues that came up later in neighborhood council. For example, there's a new train line being built in the area, and when they got the environmental impact report for their neighborhood, they were able to respond with all these requests about they wanted pedestrian safety features, they were concerned about noise pollution being a health problem. So it really got them thinking about how their city affects their health. And outcomes related to our goal to disseminate the PECI, as I mentioned, we presented this to the City Department of Public Works, and they were enthusiastic about it. We have performed, not personally, but the PECI has been performed in two additional communities, one of which did their neighborhood in sort of 2 segments. And we've also created a publicly available PECI toolkit so that anyone can use the PECI, which is available in English and Spanish versions and includes a mobile app. So just a few acknowledgments. We're indebted to the San Francisco Department of Public Works, of Public Health for the original PECI instrument and training guide. And this work was supported by very small grants from the UCLA Students of Color for Public Health, the City of Los Angeles, and the Wilshire Foundation. And the photos are by Rosa Calva. Here's a couple of resources that I mentioned. The publicly available Los Angeles PECI Toolkit is available at this website, and the original PECI and training slides are available from San Francisco Department of Public Health. And these slides will be available online. I'm just going to take a couple 30 seconds to provide you with two tips that come straight from the PECI training itself about how you can go home and improve walkability in your own neighborhood every day. First of all, slow down. As a motorist, the speed that you're driving in residential neighborhoods is really important. The residential speed limit is 25 miles per hour, but the likelihood that a pedestrian versus car accident will be fatal for the pedestrian drops dramatically between 20 miles an hour and 30 miles an hour. So it's really important that you slow down in residential neighborhoods. And second, the safest place for cyclists to ride is on the street with traffic. So as a motorist, make way and be patient and don't freak out, even if they're taking up a whole lane, which they're usually allowed to do, by the way. And if you're a cyclist, resist the temptation to ride on the sidewalk. It really is unsafe to ride on the sidewalk, especially against traffic. Thank you.